Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, July 25th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 95 and the fourth paragraph, beginning with, if he thinks he can do the job, and ending with, let it go at that. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Deb E., who will be reading the text, Dana P., who will be reading page 164, and Eileen M. is our backup reader today. A newcomer greeter is Zima M., and announcements will be Robin P. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, July 24th, 2023, is 20,468 or 20468. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,470 or 20470. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And Tanya, if you could hit star one.
Sorry, this is Tanya P., recovering by the grace of God in Michigan. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya P., and I will now ask Liz A. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. My name is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Liz A. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. And then please press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 95, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, if he thinks he can do the job, ending with, let it go at that. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. I will now ask Deb E. to get us started and to begin reading.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. We have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that worked with us. But point out that we alcoholics have much in common and that you would like, in any case, to be friendly. Let it go at that. So that first sentence makes you think of a few things. You know, the first thing is it reminds me of, I remember there was someone in particular, an old friend who knew I was in OA, and we kind of talked about some food stuff, and at one point she was like, oh, but no, like, you know, a 12-step program would never work for me. I'm never going to do that. And I just couldn't imagine. I was like, but what else is there? Like, I was so sure that, oh, like, the 12 steps are the solution to everything that I just couldn't even fathom how she would say something like that. And it really, like, drove the point home that this is not for everybody. Just because it's been an amazing solution for me, it doesn't mean that it's going to resonate with everyone. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the solution for everyone. And it took me a while to really understand that. Like, I just couldn't get how, like, why not? Like, it's so good. It's such a, you know, complete approach in my opinion, but that's the thing. It's like, for me it is, but not necessarily for everybody else. And then the other thing that makes me think of, if, you know, he can do the job in some other way, it makes me think of how we always say, like, this program's not going to work for us until we're completely out of ideas. Like, it just, it sounds like, oh, they're thinking of some other way, you know, like, oh, how many other ways could I try to lose weight? How many other ways could I try to restrict my food and control my body and my exercise? And I like that this paragraph just reminds us that all we're supposed to do is they speak from our experience. Like, we're not preaching this thing like everybody's got to, you know, work a 12-step program. We're just saying, if you want to know what works for me, this is what worked for me. And the last line, let it go at that, is just, there's so many things I need to let go. Like, as a compulsive overeater, I tend to be compulsive about things. You know, like, I want to find solutions. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to, you know, I can have like that frantic thinking. And I need to just let go of a lot of things, right? Because I'm not the one in charge. My higher power is the one in charge. My higher power has all the answers. I just need to be able to like pause and take a breath and let go of what is not my business or what I'm not in charge of, and only focus on what I am supposed to do. And I think I will let it go at that for today.
Well, thank you so much, Deb E. Thank you for getting us started. So we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with my little timer when your time is up. So I'm going to go ahead and take the first lineup. Please give your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Aya P.
Roz G.
Gotcha. Aya P. I heard a bunch of names.
Simma M.
Roz G. Who was after Haya?
Simma M.
Barbara E.
Okay, I've got you, Barbara E. I've got you, Simma.
Donna B.
Okay, I've got you, Donna B.
Vicky T.
Was that Vicky T?
Yes.
Okay, great. Got you, Vicky. And did I miss anyone? All right, well, we'll start here. So I've got Haya P, Barbara M, Roz G, I've got Simma M, I've got Donna M, and I've got Vicky T. And if you could all please let us know where you're calling from, we'll start with Haya P, followed by Barbara M.
Hi, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. My name is Haya P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor. I live in Colorado, and if on the membership list, my name is spelled C-H-A-Y-A, the C is silent. Thank you for everyone who does service. And before I share specifically on the topic, I just want to welcome anyone who's new to OA, anyone who's new to this meeting, anyone who's, you know, been here and struggling. There really, really is a miracle waiting for you. I love this paragraph, and that's why I jumped in. I'm passionate about it for a few reasons. One is that I love that it says, you know, we have no monopoly on God. You know, I have a saying, which is there's only one thing, that's one thing, and that's God. Everything else, there's nuances. And that's been my experience in life and in the 12-step rooms community. So and what that does by, you know, letting a person, if they have another way, letting them, you know, inviting them to, yeah, definitely try that, not with a patronizing, yeah, go ahead and try that, see how that works for you, but really like, yeah, try it, maybe it will. Like, I don't know. But what that does is it goes into the other line, which says be friendly, right? We make friends. And what that does is it allows the door to always be open for that person, or perhaps that person will know someone who's struggling, who can't seem to get it, and they say, you know what, I know this woman named Hi, and for her, OA works, maybe it'll work for you. It keeps the door open. Or if they come back and they say, you know what, it didn't work out there for me. I just love that. And I have some very, very close friends that I made in OA that aren't in OA anymore. and I'm still very close friends with them. And they know I'm here if that ever becomes an issue, but our friendship totally transcends program. And I just find that being friendly, that's what sponsorship is. You make a friend. It says it a couple of times. And again, there's no monopoly on God. This is so crucial for me to be an attraction rather than a promotion of anything, is to know that there's only one thing, that's one thing. So thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much. Hiya P from Colorado. Next we have Barbara M, followed by Roz G. Barbara, can you hit star one to unmute,
please? I'm sorry. Yes, this is Barbara E for Elegant or Elephant in New Jersey. I am a volume compulsive overeater, and I wanted to agree with that first woman who shared. I'm not a stalker. Not everyone needs this program. There are many ways, if one is willing to lose the weight, to do it, and they work. They just didn't work for me. I went to the pay and weigh and lost the weight, but gained it back. I got shots in my rear end, God knows what they were, and I gained the weight back. I took pills. They were probably amphetamines back in the 1960s and 70s, and I had a lot of energy, but guess what? I gained the weight back. So I have to admit today, I am a recovering higher power. I can't do the job. If I could do the job for myself, I would be a millionaire. I'd write a book, and I wouldn't be here today. But I need this group. I need this program. I've heard if you go to a meeting, you get relief. But if you do the steps, you can get recovery. And that's what I'm looking for. So I had to learn to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I need help. And will you help me? And I will have a program today. I may not do it perfectly, but I'll have it. So the steps can get me right with me, and the traditions can get me right with you. So I have an affirmation on my mirror, because I never like to look in my mirror. You are loved. You are worthy. You are enough. So whatever God is for you, for me, it's just good orderly direction, the sound of the birds chirping to each other. It can be anything, but my disease will kill me if I let it. But I will always have this disease, but I choose not to let it. So I work the steps, I work the tools, I do everything I can so that I won't fall down into that hole again and I'll never see the light of day. Thank you for allowing me to speak. This is Barbara E. in New Jersey.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. All right, next up we've got Roz G. followed by Sima M.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your amazing service moderation. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And I'm going to take this from a couple of perspectives today. The first one being with my family. Me and my father are the only people in 12-step programs in my family. And they do not understand me, nor how I approach recovery. And they all have their version of God. Most of us have the same version, but, you know, I have a 12-step recovery, and they don't understand me. And for me, desiring for them to understand me and to have empathy for the pain in my life is very frustrating. And the more I want them to understand me and they don't, the more pain I feel. And you know, what I need to do is to have the St. Francis prayer approach to them. I do not have a monopoly on God, as the paragraph says. So what kind of approach can I have to my family, my sister, my mother, where there is injury, pardon, where there is doubt, faith, where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, where there is sadness, joy, pardoning, consoling. And as with sponsees, if I give them what I've got and they don't want to do it that way, I simply have to have that St. Francis prayer attitude. Let them go in love and move on. How come I can do that so easily with sponsees? It's because I'm not emotionally involved with them. It's with my family that's really hard. And letting it go at that is great with sponsees, but not with family. So what do? I just keep trudging this road. I keep coming to the meetings. I keep sharing all of it. And I'm so grateful that I have ears that hear and understand and empathize, and all that we get, that we speak the language of the heart here. And may God bless my family and for those who want to do it some other way. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Next, we have Sima M., followed by Donna P., or I'm sorry, Donna B. Sima, you're up.
Hi, Sima M. from New Jersey. Grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery today. You know, I've read the book many times, and I've read this paragraph, and I never really paid much attention to it because I just thought a thing of, we have no monopoly on God. So I'm very careful when I speak to people about God or higher power or whatever, that they can have their own. But I didn't see the other part, which is that trying to convince them that this is the only way that they can recover. Because when I came into OA 48 years ago, there was nothing else, or at least I didn't hear of anything else. And I've been convinced that this is the only way since then, even though I didn't stick with it the whole time. But recently, now that we've gone back to some in-person meetings in my town, I happened to have a newcomer and come into the meeting, and she was very enthusiastic, and she was very God-centered. And we met for coffee, and I discussed the whole program with her, and then she decided that she found another group, a spiritual group that deals with eating. And I had never heard of any other group, but I still see her in the street, and I ask her how she's doing, and she said, great. So I was happy to hear that she found another group that worked for her. But there are other people. There was a woman that I've known for many years in OA, and she's telling me about another group that's with a 12-step group that's dealing with food, but they're not part of OA. And I was trying to have an argument, but why aren't they part of OA? Why do they have their own 12-step group? And she said, well, they have a specific way of eating, but I don't want to eat that way. I was like, well, why don't they just be part of OA? And I realized that I was getting worked up. And then later on in the day, I had to call her and make an amends, because I don't know why I have so much invested that OA is the only way. And as I was reminded of today is let go and let God. It's like, so what if there's another group? So what if they think they have the answer? So what if they think OA doesn't have the answer? It doesn't matter. As was just said, let go and let God. So I'm glad I got this reminder today. And going forward, I'm going to try to be more conscientious of avoiding arguments with people that think they have another solution. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sima M. from New Jersey. Next up, we have Donna B., followed by Vicki T.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a compulsive overeater. And this paragraph brings up an interesting reflection for me. In March, I had foot surgery, and I had breast surgery to have a mass removed from my nipple. and a friend of mine was murdered by her husband. The mass, the surgery, the breast, where the mass was removed, I got a staph infection, and it opened into a massive wound, like 3 inches wide, 3 inches deep. And it took 2.5 months to heal. And in that process, I lost my nipples. And I share all this to say that at some point during the process, there was one night where I was sitting on the sofa reading like I often do. And I got up almost like in a out-of-body experience. And I started eating granola bars. So I broke my abstinence. Since then, I have been abstinent for about 2 months. And I am in the process of working the steps again. I'll be doing step 5 this weekend. And what's interesting is that when I reflect on the relapse, there's a reflection from the standpoint of the 12 steps. And there's also a reflection from my therapeutic approach. I'm very grateful that in most cases, what I hear, the direction in the big book and suggestions from my sponsors and fellows in OA, converge with the philosophy and suggestions of my trauma therapist, my psychiatrist, but sometimes they diverge. And that's challenging for me to navigate what my truth with a capital T is. So if I look at my relapse and wonder, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? What did I stop doing? What was I not doing enough of? You know, I can see that my outreach calls fell, that I was sponsoring, but not very intensely. I mean, I was really sick, and I was also really grieving. But from the standpoint of my therapist, there is no reflection on what I did wrong, but rather sort of an overwhelming of my emotional system. And that's almost the end of my 3 minutes. But to conclude, I just want to say that even within myself, I'm navigating different approaches. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. I'm so glad that you're here. And are you in Colorado? I'm not sure if they can find you on the member list.
Yes, I'm in Colorado. And my name is spelled D-A-N-A. So sometimes people have a hard time finding me. But D-A-N-A. Donna B. from Colorado. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much. And next up, we have Vicki T.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much. This is Vicki T. I'm recovered, gratefully, in South Florida. And, I have so much to say about this. Can I have 30 minutes? No, I'm just kidding. Wow. You know, a couple things. First of all, I just want to say this, and this is just for me, so just whatever. I lovingly said goodbye to my trauma therapist that I've had since I'm 5 and I'm 57, because I told her that the 10th step is the best therapist I ever had, no offense. And I really believe that today. It took me a long time to get there, and I did a lot of good work with her. I'm not saying that. But for me, everything I need is in these 12 steps. But I didn't always think that. And in my last relapse, I said out loud, I don't like the God thing. Now, P.S., we know the God thing is everything, but whatever. And I found somebody on Facebook, and she calls herself the food shrink, and I'm there, like, having a consultation with her, and then, like, something happened, you know, is it odd or is it God? And I was like, what the heck am I doing? I'm going to shell out $2,500 for somebody to tell me not to binge because it makes me unhappy? Duh. But what happened for me this time around after being in OA for 34 years is the way that I was taught a new whole way with fresh eyes, and this is just for me, I would get really hung up on step two and three. Like, it's just too obscure. What do you mean? I don't know how to do that. It doesn't make sense to me. What I was told this time around was, step one, I'm screwed. I can't do it. Step two, something else, just the power. How about the power of the group? How about the power of the book? How about the power of millions of people recovering in different 12-step programs? Okay, I could go there. And how about step three for me? I don't have to turn anything over to anyone because I don't know how to do that. I'm just going to make a decision to stop making decisions for now until I get to step 11. Then I'll play spiritually and I'll get connected. But you know what was great? Step nine happened. And like I said, I've worked this program millions of times. I've been in the program forever. But this time, I made an amends that I was never going to make. And something just came over me. Is it odd or is it God? And it was a large financial amends. And the minute that I decided to do it, I had a white light spiritual experience. And that's crazy for somebody like me, because I'm a nice little Jewish girl from New Jersey. It doesn't happen to us, or to me. And it did. So I'm very grateful for the way that this program works, even though I balked at it for years. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Vicki T. from Florida. And before we take another lineup, if you've just joined us, I want to let you know where we are. We're on page 95 in the big book. We're in that fourth paragraph, beginning with, if he thinks he can do the job, ending with, let it go at that. And we are sharing on just that one paragraph this morning. If you could please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Sherry Jones.
Eileen M.
California.
Alexis F. Eileen M.
Okay, I heard Eileen M. I heard Alexis F. or S. And there was someone before Eileen.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie. Okay. And then, did we have anyone else who wants to get in on this next lineup?
Ian F.
Gotcha, Ian. Ian F. And I thought I heard another voice there.
Patricia P.
I think I heard Penny, but Penny, you're very muted.
Hello, Patricia.
I've got you, Patricia. But before, thank you, Patricia. Penny, did I hear Penny?
Yes.
In there?
Can you hear me?
Barely, but I got you, okay. Penny C. Okay, so we're gonna stick with that.
Hello.
I'll take us to the
hello?
End. I think.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you. Yes. And is this Patricia?
Okay. No. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time with the phone, and I keep getting off the meeting.
No.
But the
no,
last
no
time. Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. If you can hold on just 1 second. We've already got our lineup, and so if you'd
okay
like to give your name at the next meeting, that would be great.
Okay.
Because I think this is going to take us to the end. So here's who I have. I have Sherry Josie, Eileen M, Alexis, I think that's Alexis S, Ian F, Penny C, and Patricia. So we're going to go ahead and start with Sherry Josie, followed by Eileen M. And if you can let us know where you're calling from, that would be great.
Thank you so much. Hi, good morning. This is Sherry Josie, a recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. And thank you so much for the meeting this morning. I, too, have read this paragraph a bunch of times over the years, and it just really hit me hard this morning, especially that last paragraph. I mean, the last sentence in the paragraph, let it go at that. I mean, that's so simple. And I'm thinking, I may not have even had a compulsive eating problem if I had been better at letting it go at that in my life. I seem to have a lot of anger when I was compulsively overeating and really enjoyed a battle. And I enjoyed being right. And to me, that's what this paragraph is about. Like, am I really looking to serve? Am I really looking to be helpful? or am I looking to be right and to reconfirm, you know, reconfirm my point of view or what I think is the right way? And, you know, I've thought about this over the years because I have at different times not only felt passionate about OA, but probably a little dogmatic. And I, you know, I really check myself when I start feeling that. I even felt it, you know, 5 years ago when I first found Vision. I mean, I've been in OA and gratefully abstinent since 1989 and working on my program and working the steps. But 5 years ago, my program was languishing, would probably be a kind word. It was dying. I mean, I just lost touch with so many things and was starting to have a lot of food thoughts and thinking about eating and binging. And I found Vision. And I have to say, when I first found Vision, I felt really passionate, and I still do, because it just changed everything for me. But I really want to check it. You know, when I start feeling dogmatic, I would go to other meetings and I would think, you know, gosh, you know, people are just really, it's like the old term in OA, fat serenity, like just keep binging and it's okay. And I got really judgmental about it. And what I realized is that I wanted to dominate. I wanted to control. I wanted to say, well, I've got a better way. And it's just, I think that's at the heart of the disease. It's the selfishness, self-centeredness, caring more about myself, my point of view, than about the other person. And so I really checked that. And I the other day, actually, I was thinking about this topic, and I looked up the word dogmatic. So I thought, what exactly does it mean? And it said, a set of principles laid down by an authority is incontrovertibly true. And, you know, I'm not an authority, and I don't have the right to lay down anything for anybody, and I can't prove anything is incontrovertibly true, but I can passionately tell somebody how much, you know, OA has changed my life. I mean, where would I be now if I hadn't found it some 30 years ago? And, you know, so for me, I think, you know, it's about letting go of the control and the dominance and really wanting to be of service and to be, you know, kindly of help to people and to care. Thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Sherry Josie from California. Next up, Eileen M., followed by Alexis S.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And this is such a great meeting. There's just so many great shares that I'm hearing. I can relate to everything. And, you know, I love that line, we have no monopoly on God. I just love that because it would be very easy to promote this approach to recovery. It was the only thing that worked for me after, you know, many years of trying all these different ways to recover and nothing worked, you know. And, you know, for me, there had to be a complete admission of hopelessness, because until that happened, you know, really nothing else could help. You know, I love this idea of people have been saying, we do not force people to conform to the way we're doing it. We simply just, we don't tell people what to do. We tell them what worked for us. And that's been, I don't know, that approach to recovery or to helping others through recovery really has worked the best for me. I actually did have a sponsee a few years ago who, she decided to use another approach, and she actually came back, you know, a few years later, and she said that, you know, the approach that she was pursuing did not work for her. And she wanted, you know, she wanted to come back and do it the way that I had done it. And, you know, it's just that reminder of, like, you know, yeah, what the person before me was sharing, there is an ultimate authority in this program, and it's not me, you know, and I have to be respectful to other people and let them find their own way, because, you know, the whole monopoly idea is, that's very limiting, you know, not everybody that comes here is a real compulsive overeater like me, and because of the third tradition, they are welcome. They are welcome in this program. But, you know, I was thinking that also is that, you know, the approach that we use, it might seem extreme to other people, maybe looking on the outside, but, you know, I don't know, this is what I needed. So thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Next up, Alexis, followed by Ian F.
Yes, my name is Alexa Zephyrs and Frank in New Jersey, Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for your service. And I think my spiritual experience started when I was sponsoring and I found the pause to stop and think about what I was going to say. Not think about it, but ask God for direction, that his words would be my words. That's when it started. And then with my daughter at home, when I would stop and pause and say, if I control my mouth and say, if I say that, it's going to start a fight. Or if I say that, it's going to hurt her feelings. So I needed to be more considerate of how she would take things rather than just my side. And in the big book, it talks about the different kinds of spiritual experiences. It starts out in the doctor's opinion, talking about with Dr. Silkworth that the only way to stop the habit of drinking is with the spiritual experience and or the spiritual awakening. And then it goes on to William James talking about the variety of spiritual experiences in his book, and they aren't all from AA. And then it goes on to Dr. Young talking to Roland Hazard about the only way he's going to change his ways is if he has a spiritual experience. And Bill W. talks about it in his Bill story, saying that, you know, he had this tremendous experience where he tumbled out of bed and said, who am I to say there is no God? And then felt like he was on the mountaintop with a breeze going through him. So my spiritual experience didn't happen all at once. It took a long time. I remember going to a pay and weigh, and she said, there's some of you here who cannot eat sugar in any form, and you know who you are. And that struck me because I knew I couldn't. And that was the first time that I began to realize that I couldn't have sugar. And this was before I came to OA. And you know, of course, the pain way didn't last, and I went back to sugar, but what I've learned emotionally, mentally, and spiritually since I've committed to OA has helped me much more. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Alexis F. as in Frank in New Jersey. And I think I overshot the mark, so I'm not sure we're going to get to you, Patricia, but I've got Ian F. followed by Penny C. And Ian, you're up.
Hi. Hi, my name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here. Thank you guys for your shares. Beautiful stuff. I have found there is no headspace more isolating than to feel that I have all of the answers. And I've many times been judgmental of people's abstinences, going into meetings and think, oh, well, they drink this and or they include this in their meal plan, and therefore they're not spiritually awakened because they haven't even gotten abstinent yet, you know, by my definition. And that's a really bad headspace to be in going into a meeting. I mean, it's just self-righteousness out the wazoo. Because that thing, we have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that works for us. I came here because I wanted to be free. And I didn't feel free. And when the steps say we tried to carry the message is not, here is the answer, I have the answer, do it. The answer is, I wasn't free, now I am, here's what I did. And so if I see someone who's in a meeting and I disagree with their abstinence or their recovery or how they're living their life in any way, it doesn't really matter. Because the question is not, did you do it right? It's, do you feel free? And if someone comes to me and says, I don't feel free, I think that you are, can you show me how you did that? That's where I can say, Well, here's the answer that I found. But it's not my place, and it's not the message of the program to say, here is the answer. It's here is the answer that I know. And that's all I can give. And that's absolutely enough to give just that. I don't have to go seeking for everybody to do the same thing that I did. You know, that's no way to live. I just love how freeing this paragraph is. Let it go with that. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Ian. And where are you calling from?
Kentucky.
That's what I thought. All righty. Thank you. And Penny C., you'll be our last share today.
Good morning. Yeah. Good morning. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm Penny C. I'm recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And again, that one sentence, we have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that worked for us. I just think that is one of the most powerful sentences in the whole book, because had we come across, had 12-step programs preach that this is the God you have to understand, and we call God by that name only, and the program never would have gone very far. And so I am so grateful to 12-step programs and the Big Book especially, because it has made me from a completely narrow-minded person who thought I had the conception of God that everybody else should have. And it made me so open-minded. Often on my gratitude list is that, you know, I am open-minded now. And in fact, if someone I don't know calls me, tells me she's from OA or from A Vision for You, and I've never spoken to her before, one of the questions I ask early on is, what do you call your higher power? And if that person says, well, I'm not sure, but, you know, I like a beautiful sunset. Okay, then I'm going to do the best I can to remember to honor that person's conception of a higher power, and know that if that works for them, then I'm all for it. I don't try to insist that anyone have the same conception or the same name for a higher power than I do. That is 100% different from when I came in. And I'm going to close with that, hoping that Patricia has some time. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Penny C. And actually, we are right on time. So, Patricia, please come back tomorrow and get in that lineup and share, but we're out of time today. So we will now close the meeting with the reading from the
book. She doesn't have 1 minute.
Page. No, it's 7:48 or 10:48 Eastern time. Yeah, sorry. Patricia, if you want to come back tomorrow, that would be amazing. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Dana P., if you could please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
It would be my pleasure, Stephanie. Hi, thanks for your service. It's Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.